A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 52nd and 53rd chapters. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Thus far the text. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who can consider that they were cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? He made a grave with the wicked and with a rich man in death, although he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. What pleases God? How do you know that what you're doing is God's will? A Newsweek article from not that long ago suggests that all religions are similar in their approach to pleasing God. They say that in order to please God, all people have to do, no matter which religion they belong to, is live by the golden rule. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. If we just get along, if we're tolerant of other people and their beliefs, and in general are good people, then according to Newsweek, we should be pleasing to our God. But is this God who is pleased with tolerance of other gods and with our attempts at being good, the God that you and I know? Is simply living by the golden rule how we please him? That didn't work out so well for Jesus, did it? He treated others quite well. You might even say perfectly. And they put him to death. And God allowed it to happen. Isaiah 53:10 tells us it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Another translation reads, God was pleased to bruise him, to put him to grief, and to make his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah's answer to the question, what pleases God, and Newsweek's answer are totally different. The generic God that many people talk about, who seems to be pleased with tolerance, they say is also appeased when we do our best. But the triune God, the only true God, is not pleased at all with our pitiful attempts at loving our neighbor. He is not pleased with our pettiness in forgiving the sins of those who sin against us. He is not pleased with our self-glorifying good works that amount to nothing. He is not pleased by our lust for wealth and for material goods. He is not pleased with our tolerance of other gods in our midst. For he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." He is not pleased when we do not fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Nor is the triune God's anger at sin appeased even when we do our best. Our best just isn't good enough. He is perfect and holy, and he requires that also of his people. He requires perfection all the time. We cannot earn our righteousness or God's pleasure by living by the golden rule, or by living by any other rule for that matter. What would actually happen if God treated us as we often treat him? Maybe he'd show up to help us. Maybe he wouldn't. If he were like us, it would depend on how he felt that day. Maybe he'd provide our daily bread. Maybe he wouldn't. If he were like us, it would depend on if he had enough left over after his needs and wants were all met. Maybe he'd answer our prayer and take time to respond. Maybe he wouldn't. If he were like us, it would depend on what's in it for him or how it would make him look to other people. We would not love or even like a God that acts and treats us as we treat him. If our salvation actually depended on how we treat people and on what we do for God, then we are all doomed. Yet there are many people that believe just that. They feel that they can earn God's pleasure and blessing. As we stand in the bleakness of this night, and in the shadow of the black veiled cross, and contemplate our Lord's suffering and death, we must admit to ourselves that we are the ones who deserve to be nailed to that cross. We are the ones who deserve to suffer and die for our sins. It wasn't Jesus who deserved to receive the wrath of God. It was you and me and all sinners from the very beginning, including Adam and Eve. We know full well that it is our transgression of God's law, our hatred, our arrogance, our sin that nailed him to that tree. And if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Contrary to the feelings and opinions and even the teachings of many people in this fallen world, you can't and you will never be saved because you are a good person in this life, or because your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds, or because you did your part for the environment, or because you treated others as you wish to be treated, or even because you think you decided to believe in and to follow Jesus. There's only one way that you can be saved. You are saved only because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. You are saved only because He, with His blood, paid the entire price for your sins and made atonement for your sinful nature. You are saved only because He pleased His Father by doing His Father's will and doing it perfectly. You are saved only because He traded places with you, because He took your sin and He gave you His righteousness. God's mercy and love for His creation kept Jesus from coming down from that cross as everyone was taunting Him and speaking ill of Him while He was hanging there. It's precisely because we cannot love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, nor can we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we needed and continue to need this Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. As Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God was not pleased to bruise his own son or to make his soul a sacrifice for sin because he is cruel and unloving, but rather because he loves you so much. Jesus came into this world in order that he would be the sacrifice for sin. He came because he loves you and didn't want to see you go to destruction in hell. He came into this world to bear your grief and to carry your sins to his cross where they would be destroyed. He was born in Bethlehem for you, so that he could die outside of Jerusalem for you and for your sins. The Father was pleased to bruise his Son because in the suffering and death of his righteous Son, Jesus Christ, sin, death, and the devil would be defeated forever. Your God is not the same God that those other religions worship and adore. Your God came down from heaven and took on human flesh and blood, and he has given his life for you. Your God is pleased when you confess your sins and your weaknesses and your offenses, and when you are heartily sorry for them. Your God is pleased when you believe that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, and when you remember that in your baptism your sinful nature was crucified with Christ, and that in your baptism you were made righteous in his blood. He is pleased when you listen to and believe in his word. He is pleased when you eat his body and drink his blood, and when you remember and proclaim his suffering and death until he comes again. He is pleased when you receive his gifts with thanksgiving, and when you worship him by having faith in him alone. He is pleased with you because of his Son. Jesus is the ransom for all mankind. He died with his arms outstretched on the cross, welcoming all peoples, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, male and female, young and old. By being lifted up on that cursed tree of the cross, he has done exactly what he promised to do. He has drawn all men unto himself. To those who are perishing, the cross is foolishness. To those who want to put God into their little box, the cross is a stumbling stone. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Faithful cross, true sign of triumph, be for all the noblest tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thine equal be, symbol of the world's redemption, for the weight that hung on thee. By the tree of the garden, the devil overcame Adam and Eve. But by the tree of the cross, Jesus Christ has triumphed over sin, death, and the devil, and even the very gates of hell. When your life on this earth is over, you will be brought through those church doors, and you will be covered in a white garment, a funeral pall, showing that it isn't the one who is in the coffin that is worthy to receive eternal life because he has been pleasing to God. Rather, it will show that it is the one who hung upon the cross and who covers you in his precious blood that makes you worthy to receive eternal life. In Jesus Christ, your sins are all forgiven. In his blood, you have been clothed in his righteousness alone. No cross that you bear in this life, no tomb or watch or seal will ever keep you from being raised from the dead to inherit the eternal life that your Savior purchased for you with his own precious blood. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.